Hey, AJ, you awake? You there, man?
Nate, I'm right here, dude.
Dude, get your mind right. It is podcast time.
We're so dumb.
This is a Fitting Room podcast with your hosts, Nate Adelman and AJ Volpel.
Yo, what's going on, everyone? This is the Fitting Room podcast. I am your host, AJ Volpel, alongside Nate Adelman. Nate, an episode you've been looking forward to a long time. I know I say that very often
our
intros.
I think you say that every episode.
But your enthusiasm is just, you know, it's so striking. You know, it literally grabs me and it gets me excited to talk about these things because you're the real guru here. I kind of just, you know, drive the car. You know, you're in the back seat, just chilling, waving everybody.
I'm blushing.
You know, like the politician. So. What are we talking about today?
Yes.
Why don't you tell the fine people out
there? We talk a lot about clubs that are out, clubs that are coming out, mm-hmm. Practices that are in play today.
Yep.
But very rarely do we stop, look back.
Look around.
And say, where the heck are we going?
Right.
Right? And so I thought, you know, what if we had an episode that we talked about the future of fitting? Like,
yes.
Where is this thing going? What are the most cutting-edge fitters doing now that will obviously trickle down to other retailers and outlets over the next couple of years. Mm-hmm. But also, let's look much farther out, you know, once technology is much more affordable, et cetera. And so
what, you didn't want to just ask me what I thought?
Could ask you what you think.
All right, well,
yeah.
I don't want to...
Well, you feel free to chime in anytime you want.
Listen,
but
I do chime in, okay?
But yeah, I guess you didn't need permission to chime right. in. But so we called up one of the best fitters in the country, Nick Sherburn, who is the founder of Club Champion. So Club Champion is one of the top premium outlets for fitted golf clubs. They
right.
build in-house. They have expert fitters that go through months of training. And I thought, you know, he's had an amazing year this year fitting our products. And I thought we would ask him a little bit about the future of fitting, where he sees it going. But also, there's some especially technical questions that we've been getting on the community
yeah.
that I know this guy will be really good at answering. So we'll take advantage of having him and we'll ask him those questions.
Yeah. I mean, he's one of the brightest minds of club fitting. All our listeners know, I mean, our guests are our A-listers. I mean, we just had the Pro Tour series where you sat down with, I mean, Hadwin, Furyk,
right.
Reed, everybody, Berger. And then we just had the intervention, which was
the
fittervention. If you guys didn't listen to that one, that was actually pretty funny. Nate and a bunch of marketing members were goofing on me for not having to get fit recently. And the fact that I play our new MBs, which are just so clean. They're just so tight.
I doubt Nick would fit you into those. But
yeah, right. If you saw the Stripe show, forget about it.
One of the things that actually is also compelling about Nick is he's also a master club builder.
Right. So
not only is he fitting, but he also fulfills the orders and builds. So
right.
that's the part that gets me excited, the build part.
Yeah. So it's a really great episode. You guys are going to love the conversation that we have with Nick, which you'll hear in just a second. But Nate already mentioned it, Callaway community, callawaygolf.com/community. You could ask any fitting question you have or any question you have in general, whether it's about golf, golf courses, whatever, equipment. Reviews.
And AJ will be on there answering questions about your love life as well.
That's actually my specialty. That and food. Love and food. Listen, it goes, I do it very well. So if you have any questions at all, just hit me up. But without further ado, we will stop talking your ears off. We'll get to our conversation with Nick right after this.
Adam Hadwin here, and I'm going to interrupt this program for a very important message. If you like podcasts like the one you're listening to now, I encourage you to listen to the Pirate Ship Show. Little known fact, I listened to the Ship Show right before I shot my 59, and also right before my first PGA Tour victory. Honestly, I did. Download the Ship Show wherever you get your podcasts. Now let's join AJ and Nate for more great fitting advice.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to another Fitting Room. Super excited, and I know Nate is extremely excited about our guest calling in from Chi-Town or just outside of Chicago, and that is Nick Sherburn of Club Champion. Nick, thanks so much for joining us today, man.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're super excited to talk about the future of club fitting from someone who is kind of like an OG of club fitting, someone who's been around fitting for a long time. You started Club Champion, which now I think has close to 20 locations or 20 locations throughout the country. Can you please just explain to people who aren't familiar what Club Champion is? Just kind of give them a little 101 on what you guys do.
Sure. Yeah. You know, I started Club Champion close to 20 years ago in 1998. And the goal is to not only fit golf clubs, but help people find the right golf club that's going to help improve their game, lower their scores. It's our motto. So, you know, our goal is to take a brand agnostic approach, find the right shaft, the right head, the right lie angle, the right loft, the right swing weight, the right frequency, the right grip, you name it, and spend the proper amount of time with the client and interview the client, understand what their game's about, where they struggle, where their strengths are, and really work with them to find equipment for their bag and build equipment for their bag that's going to actually make an impact at their scores. That's the goal. That's what we train all our guys to do.
So what is it, would you say, about Club Champion and the fitting process that you guys go through and that you've helped develop over the last 20 years that makes you unique compared to some of the other fitting outlets out there?
Well, I think obviously the most biggest one is we're brand agnostic. So, you know, we obviously work with all the different manufacturers. Galloway's a big one, and they make great products. But we work with everybody to find the right product for that customer. So that's really one of the big touches. It's not one brand, it's multiple brands. The other approach we take that I think is way different is we don't subscribe to just one type of fitting philosophy. So I believe, and this is what I train all our guys to believe, is that golf is a muscle reactionary sport. So we're going to sit there and actually test these products. We're not going to make any assumptions. No computer is going to tell us what should be and what shouldn't be. We're going to use a lot of diagnostic tools and then a lot of demos. And we're going to take a lot of swings with the player in order to understand what their body does with it, what their eyes see with it, what their ears hear with it, in order to really take a whole approach of finding that perfect golf club for that customer.
And now, Nick, are you mostly fitting people off of some launch monitors, a lot of statistical data, or do you leave it up to the golfer at all in terms of if they like the feel of a club or the feel of a shaft? Or is it a combination of both? How do you kind of go about doing that?
Yeah, so TrackMan is what all our stores standardize on. So all the stores use TrackMan. And obviously that's a huge part. And it's, you know, it's me as I've evolved over 20 years. It's a big part of what's made our fitting services even better is having those diagnostic tools to not only, whether it's verifying what the customer's feeling and seeing, or it's actually telling the customer, hey, you need to be feeling and seeing something a little different. Mm-hmm. You know, it's been a big part of it, and that's what we use for our main fittings is TrackMan. And when you talk about putters, we use the Science of Motion or SAM Putt Lab, and all these diagnostic tools allow us to not only work with the golfer based on what they want, but also to confirm that or, you know, help them understand, hey, we need to change our framework here and start thinking a little differently.
So in the last, like, you know, 5 to 7 years, the availability of technology out at retail has just blown up. It's very easy now to find a launch monitor, to especially, you know, get fit for a driver. Not quite as many with the putter, but Nick, how has fitting evolved in the last 20 years? Before, I mean, obviously technology is a big part of that, and that's something that's easier now than it was 15 years ago. But how else has the art and the practice of fitting evolved since you started getting in the game 20 years ago?
Well, I mean, 20 years ago, it was just, hey, well, let's measure your wrist to floor and take you some face tape and some lie tape, and maybe we'll check out your club head speed, and then we go, you do like regular, extra stiff or stiff, and, you know, that's kind of how it started, and then it evolved to some frequency things and maybe some a little bit more diagnostics. But now what it is now with any, you know, flight scope, TrackMan, you name it, you have the ability to look at ball speed, club head speed, their path of delivery, their dynamic loft, the land angle. You have all these different dynamics to look at and help diagnose what you can look at all of them, but maybe you just need to look at some of them based on the needs of that player. That's huge. The other thing is manufacturers like you guys, Callaway, and all of them down the road are now making different clubs for different levels of golfers, which mm-hmm. helps that way. You know, when you look at the shaft manufacturers, it used to be, do you want a 120-gram shaft or do you want a 125-gram shaft? Now, I could say for a club champion, when you walk into one of our stores, we have a shaft that weighs 29 grams all the way up to 140 grams. And that really allows us to fit a wide spectrum of players, swings, sizes, abilities. And that makes it very exciting for me because I can do more for that player because I can get more zeroed in.
All right, so Nick, I have a I have a couple questions, but I'm just gonna go one at a time here, just because I'm this
good plan.
This is
I
pretty
like that
this
approach.
Is pretty damn interesting, yeah. Nate. So because we're kind of talking about the past and then how it's evolved and the future of fitting. So my question to you, Nick, is: do you think that players or golfers are is there an issue of players becoming too dependent on technology and numbers? And it's kind of deterring them from either getting fit and trusting it over like, you know, oh, I got fit, but, you know, I think I need to do it again. Or do you think it's kind of creating psychological issues with golfers, or do you think it has that potential to?
You know what? That's an interesting question. I haven't really thought about it that way. I guess this is the way I would look at that. If that with that question would be as, listen, there's physics, and physics is a certain thing, and the USGA has kind of put a certain restraints on certain variabilities that you guys can produce a golf club or shafts or whatever. And so, you know, this is what I laugh about. You know, you get the guy that walks in out the door, and he goes, I hit it 300 yards. You're swinging 92 miles an hour. Physics doesn't allow that. So my point is that, you know, there's just certain – that's what I love about our business is it's not like you walk in and, hey, sir, I got you 5 yards now. You can go to the register and buy it.
Yeah.
No, here's what the pinnacle is. This is the best that you can be based off your speed. Mm. I can show you that. Now, let me see if I can get you there. Can I get that smash factor? Can I get that launch? Can I get that spin? So what I tell people, you know, to answer that question now that I've set it up a little bit is, whenever you take a new buy a new piece of equipment, I think it would be insane not to – at least get on a monitor and understand if you've gone backwards or you're going forward and how close to optimal you are. Now, to get wrapped up in it such that you're, you know, searching for the Holy Grail, that's where the difference is. You know, with our fits, you know, we're sitting there telling people, listen, this is the best we're going to be able to do. We tried this, we tried that, we did this, we did that. You know, this is the closest to the pinnacle you're going to get. But I do think it's to me, it makes no sense to go out and buy a $400 or $500 driver, whatever it is, and not know truly the numbers and truly understanding what you're getting and why you're getting it. Now, most people do, but you know, I think they're getting the idea. And, you know, obviously, me talking today is helping people understand that. That hey, whether you're going all soup to nuts like we do, or you're just going to a simple launch monitor at the range of your club, you should understand those numbers and you should get it. Now, do you need to sit at home and worry about it all night? No. But when you do buy new golf equipment, I definitely would take the time to understand it and get into it.
Right. So I was actually indirectly referencing Nate there because he is a constant tinkerer and he's kind of never, ever satisfied, even if he gets he could get five fittings in 1 week and he'll never, ever be satisfied. But it's interesting because, you know, club fitting seems – obviously, your business has grown. I mean, you now have, you know, 20 storefronts. I mean, that's insane. So you're fitting – are you fitting a considerable amount of more people now than, say, even 5 years ago?
Well, yeah. I mean, just our growth shows that. But, I mean, here's what I would be shocked by, the guy who's closest to it, is what I'm pleasantly surprised is when I grew up in this business and – When my partners and I think about what the potential of this business, we undershot it. And what we're happy to see is we're happy to see more of the average guy. And say, you know, you hear so many times. So when I'm training, I go, here's what you're going to hear. I'm not good enough or I don't have enough money to get fit for golf clubs. That's the two things. And I shake my head at both of them because one is I would rather take the 24 handicapper every day than the one handicapper that walks the door. I can do so much damage to his scorecard, that 24. I mean, I can make him love me for the rest of the world, you know, the rest of his life. And because he's either listened to too much marketing or he's listened to his buddy. Oh, my good buddy plays this, so I should play this.
Yeah.
You know, it's all that. So you know, for me, it's growing like a weed, and more people, the higher handicap, are getting into it than I think anybody ever thought. And I think people are understanding that there's multiple levels of ways to get. Yes, it can be very expensive. But you know what? It doesn't have to be necessarily. So, you know, that's part of, like, a club champion. We take the approach when we sit somebody down and we interview them before we take them to the sitting base, try to understand their goals, how much, you know, value they put on their game, because then it's easy. It's like, you're going to, would you pay an extra $300 for, you know, 30 yards? Most would.
Right.
They just didn't know it until they saw the potential. But some people won't, and then, you know, it's like, okay, well, for 25 yards, you can pay this. So people are starting to get the they're not as intimidated by fitting anymore. They're not, and it still has a ways to go, but I would say the intimidation factor of custom fitting has come way down, mm-hmm. and we're seeing it every day in our stores.
And I think for even fittings that you do have to pay for, the most premium fitting, it's the cost of maybe one, maybe two rounds of golf over the course of the 5-year period, 7-year period, you're going to have those clubs. So, I mean, from the ROI standpoint, I think it's there. And one of the things, AJ, we always try to do on this show, which is also similar to the principle of fitting, and something Nick touched on a little bit ago, is maximizing your potential, right? So whatever skills that you have, whatever ability you're bringing, the equipment exists that we can configure to allow you to maximize your potential. So, Nick, I'm curious to know this year, let's say this particular season, speaking of maximizing your potential, one of the ways that we got in touch with you was you were lighting up the scoreboard of number of Epic drivers sold on our scoreboard we keep here at headquarters for fitters around the country. And every day it seemed like your club champion has just probably one of the biggest outlets of fitted Epic drivers in the country. So can you talk to us a little bit about what you've seen with that particular product and how it's uniquely been a fitting story this season?
Yeah, you know, it has been. And, you know, every year we have something that comes to life. There's a club that just outperforms. And what's fun is if you look over my we do it month to month and then year to year to see what the best products are that are performing, because we are brand agnostic. You know, it's fun to see what rises to the top each year. And Epic has done a great job. And I can tell you, it's a twofold thing. One, or it's a couple of things. One is, it's hot, okay? And I'll let you guys divulge your secrets and whatever you want. But for whatever reason, I can tell you, we get a lot of good ball speeds and we get a lot of good smash factors out of that driver, which is, you know, most of our clients, when they're looking for a driver, it doesn't hurt when it goes farther, right?
Never, ever.
You know, and it's funny because for me, I've seen a slowdown in that last couple of years because of the USGA putting some limitations on that. And you guys finally made an impactful difference that generated buzz that people wanted to buy, and it's working out, you know, it's showing the numbers in the bay, and the driver's getting out on the course, and, you know, then their buddies come in and go, holy cow, you know, hey, maybe I should take a look at that thing, and then, you know. And then, so that's one part of it. It's hot. And there's no joke, because years past, you know, everybody markets our drivers are hot, and this, that, and the next thing. No, this thing's really hot. So that's one part of it. Another part of it that helps is making drivers for different skill levels. So, you know, or not even skill levels, I guess ballistic would be better, you know, high launch, high spin, low launch, low spin. So having the ability to have Sub-Zero and have the regular Epic is nice because it fits another wide brand of players. And then also, you know, our fitters like the adjustability of it too. So, you know, those kind of, you know, that kind of makes a perfect marriage of what we're looking to do and, you know, being able to fit a wide span of golfers.
Now, Nick, what do you think, you know, as launch monitors continue to advance and as the availability of technology and the cost of those come down, and, you know, as we've seen, you've been very successful with brick and mortar, but not all golf brick and mortar has been able to sustain you know, the prevalence of online shopping and the ability to get things through alternate channels. What do you think it's going to look like in, let's say, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, the club purchasing process?
Well, I think it's going to be a little bit more specialized. I think it's going to have to be more hands-on. You know, I think the days of, you know, there'll be the guy who wants to go online and get the quick fix, you know, the quick cheap fix. And then there's going to be the person that wants to spend the time to go in and work with an individual in order to really find what's the right club. I mean, with how expensive things have been. My personal opinion on whether it's brick and mortar outside or working outside of the ranch, you know, I'm indifferent to that. You know, we've had an option to set up our stores however we wanted. And I had an outdoor location early on, and my true belief is you want to fit a golf club in a nice, sterile, clean environment where you're not being interrupted, you don't have to worry about elements, you're using premium golf balls, and you have a better one-on-one environment. It's not hot, it's not cold, it's not windy, whatever it is. You know, I found it to be, for the average player, I get it. A tour player maybe wants to see ball play.
Yeah.
So for us, you know, for the average player, we need to eliminate as many variables away from this so that they can concentrate on making a good swing, and our fitters can concentrate on analyzing data and watching the player. You know, but that's why we also have, like for us, we have our perfect fit guarantee. So we tell clients, hey, listen, if you have any concern of being indoors, outdoors, whatever we showed you in the bay today, if it doesn't travel outside on the court, you come back, we'll work with you in any way possible to make any necessary tweaks that we need to the club in order to. And sometimes our fitters will even go to the range afterwards and watch the player and make any additional tweaks. But yeah. I really see the future of the business being a lot of smaller specialty shops where it's maybe not as all-in customer fitting as us, but at least the client's getting a more one-on-one experience because, you know, yeah, technology is going to get cheaper, but the golf clubs necessarily might not necessarily. And when people are going to invest in their game and they're going to, you know, buy these golf clubs, they want that.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm thinking, you know, it could be out now. It could be being developed right now. But I think, in my opinion, the future of club fitting, I think it's all going to be handheld. Whoever designs the step-by-step app that you put behind you while you're swinging on a driving range or something like that gives you kind of some numbers, is really, really simple. I think you're going to be able to fit yourself soon, which you know, obviously doesn't bode well for you guys, Nick, unless you guys develop the app. But
yeah,
that's kind of where I'm seeing the future. Everything kind of handheld, do-it-yourself kind of style. I could be 100% wrong. But I kind of, it seems like people are getting lessons now through apps and booking lessons through apps and things like that. So I feel like it's just going to keep kind of funneling toward that mobile kind of format.
So when you talk about the sector of the market, when I look at our business and the future of our business, I would find that very hard to believe. That wouldn't be much different than probably what happens now. You will have enough people that are gearheads that will understand the numbers or understand, or they're willing to go try to figure out and find this shaft or find that shaft. Really, you know, with us, part of the thing is having the being able to go and test that product. That's one big part of it. You know, but with us, you know, for the listeners that haven't been to one of our stores, we have 200 different wood shafts. We have 200 different iron shafts.
Gosh.
We have every head and make and model of everything. So, you know, yeah, although you'd be able to fit yourself, you wouldn't be able to sit there and plug and chug and do that. You'd have to really go and either figure out where you can get the demos to do all that stuff. But I'm going to hit you something with even something even better. So here's the problem with that scenario. And this might go a little bit against, too, you know, Callaway a little bit. But golf clubs are only, if you hit that golf club, you better buy that golf club, right? I tell every person that I ever talk to, if you go to your demo day at your club and you hit a golf club, you better not run to your pro and order that golf club. You better ask that guy, hey, can I buy that particular golf club at the end of the day? And then, you know, you replenish yours. Building two exact golf clubs is a very, very difficult thing to do. And so, you know, part of it is,
yeah, it's really interesting.
Yeah.
The build process. So, you know, that's what we hammer home at Club Champion is hey, we're going to take all the proper specs off this and make sure that it gets built to exactly this same process so that when you go out on the golf course, it performs identical and it doesn't end up like in your garage like some of the other golf clubs.
Yeah. And actually, in the last couple of years, we've increased the number of different QC checks in our manufacturing facility and the number of things that during the process, there's a lot of quality control built into it. So it's not just taking, you know, everything from the starting head weight being relative to the finished length, for example, like on Epic Irons, there are two different head weights
right,
based on what length you're going to end up with so that we can start creating, well, so that the clubs themselves have the greatest chance of being as close to the demos and as close to what the engineers designed them to be. So
right on.
So AJ, let's move right along. We have a section today, a Factor Fiction special edition for the future of club fitting. Factor Fiction. So Nick, we're going to mention a couple sentences and you're going to tell us in your opinion whether those are fact or those are fiction or maybe somewhere in between.
Yeah, maybe faction. We've had a lot of those in the past.
All right, AJ, kick it off.
All right, cool. All right, Nick, here we go. Number one, we're going to do two of these. So in 15 years, over 80% of golf clubs will be sold as fitted custom clubs.
And just for reference, our numbers right now is between 30 and 40% goes through custom.
Okay, I was going to ask you that.
So it's nearly double. Yeah.
Okay, so will that double in 15 years, Nick?
I was going to say, that I was going to ask you what yours was, because if you would have told me 5 years ago that 40% at this point was possible, I would have told you fiction. And I would guess if I want to say 80% is now fact, and I hope it is fact. I'm guessing, though, it'll probably be in the 60. I think it'll probably top out at 60 or 70. But, man, I hope it's 80.
So still, over half getting custom fit. That bodes well for the quality of golf being played, too.
Big time.
It'll be bad for our golf ball business because we won't be losing so many golf balls, you know?
Well, that's what I was going to say. You would grow the game faster because people would be enjoying it better.
Right. Okay, next one. You cannot get a high-quality fitting without using expensive technology.
Oh, great question.
I'll play Switzerland on this and say that is fiction, although it goes against me. You would have to be super savvy, okay, in order to figure that out. I would say you're better off trying to get some high-quality fitting TrackMan, FlightScope. That being said, if you had a good fitter, and I mean a really good fitter that knew what they were doing and understood how to use some lesser tools, I think that they could do a good job as well. I don't want to sit on a pedestal here.
So. All right, nice. All right, good answers. Time for some questions from the Callaway community, which you can ask if you go to CallawayGolf.com/community, and there's a little fitting corner thread in there. Just drop your question in there, and it's pretty much guaranteed to be answered. So if you have any sort of questions as it relates to fitting, we will answer it for you with some expert advice, like Nick here, who is going to answer Jim M's question. What are your thoughts on the recent trends of tinkering with club length, such as Bryson DeChambeau playing single length irons or Dan Connolly's TLT, the true length technology theory? What do you say, Nick?
Well, I've watched this go in and out, I think, three times during my career.
Right.
For me, it's nothing new. So I think Bryson DeChambeau was on the cover, to make it quick, on the cover of Sports Illustrated last year, and there was a great article in there, and he said, and they asked him how he got this. He goes, well, I wanted this swing, and I built clubs around it. I looked up, and I looked at the person sitting next to me. I go, well, that's club fitting. Right. I built golf clubs around my swing. So, I don't think single length is necessarily going away. It'll forever be there. It's been there longer than people realize. They just, they're not in the world we live in. Do I think it's for everybody? No. Do I think it'll grow slightly? Yes. I think it's one of those things that if you're interested in understanding that, you go through a club fitting like ours. We do fit single length here. It's a small portion of our business that people ask about, and we're happy to show them and see if it's worth it for them. I don't think it's going to take over, and I think it'll always just be a small sector there that people can evaluate if they think it might be something they're interested in.
Is there a particular player type that type of approach is better for, or swing type that's better for, or is it just personal the way you look down at the club, it just kind of looks and feels right?
Well, I think the best player, if I had to say, would be a single plane, maybe a stack and tilter. They tend to do a little better with single length. Sometimes the guys that come in with it really struggle with long irons and they're not a hybrid guy. It's worth looking at. I wouldn't say it's a handicap level though necessarily, although it's been conceived that maybe a higher handicapper would like it more, but I don't know if I've seen that in our findings. So that would be my answer to that.
Awesome. Yeah, we actually have one of our marketing executives who plays normal irons up through his six iron, and then everything above a six iron is the same length. So like the four, three, four, five, six. So it works for him, but obviously you have to be fit properly and make sure that.
It's interesting you say that. I almost like, and I've done this for a couple clients, it was born out of single length. We did almost tri-level, so it's like three different bags.
That's
and
cool.
So, and it works. And, but yeah. My point is it's club fitting. So, you know, it comes up, we talk about it, we test it, and then if it works, we do it.
That's cool.
And if anyone out there is thinking of doing this to your set, I caution you against that because they have to be built. Because you're messing with lengths, it's going to vastly adjust the swing weight.
Yeah.
And so they have to be built that way. Probably not as advisable to take your existing set and try to doctor it unless you really know what you're doing. But let's move on to
100% fact.
Let's move on to last question from Robbie P. I know the Odyssey Tank Counterbalance series of putters has been very successful, but what about counterbalancing the rest of my clubs? I like my putter, so should I counterbalance my irons or my woods? What could I expect to gain from doing this?
Wow, this goes back to the whole weight thing, right? So counterbalancing in putters makes a lot of sense. It mobilizes the bigger muscles. It makes you less twitchy, you know, all those things. And it helps you dial in speed control. And there's a lot of things, but it's a little small stroke. It's very slow. What we find in the long clubs when you counterbalance is it's not necessarily there's a lot of trends or tendencies. It's just a weight theory. It's just all weight again. So, you know, for us, it really comes down to the player. It really comes down to their muscle structures and how their muscles fire and react to weight. And only I can tell you through watching different players, you have to test in order to know if there's any benefit to you whatsoever. You know, Jack Nicklaus counterbalanced all his golf clubs for years. Wrap lead tape underneath the grips.
And Sergio does that now, actually.
Yeah, and Sergio does it now. But I wouldn't say I see it in, like, putters. It's like if I see a guy hammering putts by the hole or a girl, hey, let's put some weight in there and see if we can help you slow that down. And that works a lot of times. It's a big tendency. It's a trend I can see. And when I put them in big claw clubs like irons and wedges and wood, I can't say I see it discernible. Everybody's a little bit different with that.
Mm-hmm.
I would say this. If you tend to hit the ball fat or inconsistent through impact, I don't know if it'd even be something I would look at. I have to be putting the weight as much down the head as possible. I can tell you that from 20 years of fitting.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't even look at it in those situations. But if you're a person that really throws hard from the top, maybe, because it'll help you kind of drop it down in. But it's something that I would only do if you have the ability to really go to a place like us or somewhere else that you could test it. But I've never really seen a real huge gain in it either. So it's not something that at a club champion we push real hard.
Right.
If
a player's fighting a big slice, counterbalancing the driver is not going to be the answer to that. There's probably easier and more.
I think that's face angle. If you're going to fix it with a golf club, that's face angle, that's shaft flex, shaft weight.
There's other ways to do it that will have a greater effect, more so than maybe counterbalancing the irons.
No question. Yeah. No question.
So, Nick, one more question before we let you go. I guess it's a loaded question. How often do you actually fit yourself or get fit? And when was the last time that you were fit? I was getting hell from Nate on the last episode.
Talking to the crack addicts of all crack.
Nice.
So, I change golf clubs like underwear.
So once a week?
Month.
Oh, yeah. Damn. Our chemistry is just too tight.
So, so to answer that question is what's cool about where I am. So our headquarters here, we have trainees, and so we train all our guys for a month at our headquarters before we let them into the field. Mm. It's something that we feel very strong about, that we put people in the field. We try to hire. I have a full in-house recruiter that recruits the very best. Then we bring them here for a month, and then we send them out. So I'm constantly having people fit me because I'm one of the subjects.
You're the
guinea
pig, yeah.
I want to see how they treat me. And so, and you know what's fun with club fitting is there's sometimes multiple ways to skin this cat. in the series that, you know, there might be a couple clubs that are really good for me. It comes down to look and feel. So it's fun in the aspect that I get lucky enough to get fit maybe almost on a once-a-week basis, 2-3 times a month at least. And sometimes I find some stuff where I'm like, wow, the numbers, that's a little bit better. Or the numbers are the same, but you know what? They found the combo I kind of like the feel of a little bit better. And then obviously I'm running to the back room to figure out how I built this thing, get it in my back as fast as possible. And then obviously here we even go the touch farther because we do all the stamping and the painting and all the fun stuff, the ferrules and, you know, name it, and then trick it out and make it look as cool as possible.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, you and Nate would be a BFF, no question in my mind. But Nick, where could people go? Is it just clubchampion.com or Twitter or what's the deal?
We have Twitter. We have Club Champ Golf on Twitter. We have Facebook pages. We have Instagram. But, you know, our website, clubchampiongolf.com, we have great videos to learn more about our services and our fittings and our build process and everything. And you can schedule fittings on there. Plus, there's an 800 number if you want to book fittings. Or all our locations are on there, and you can call one of our locations. Go visit one of our fitters and get signed up for a fitting.
Awesome.
Or learn
awesome.
More.
Love it.
Nick, thank you so much for the time and teaching us a little bit about your world and, I guess, what we can expect in the next couple of years in the realm of fitting.
Yeah, and we'll definitely we got to have you on again soon, man. This was fun.
Yeah, I'd love to talk some more. So thanks, guys, for having me.
All right, awesome. Thank you very much, Nick.
Thanks.